devotion, everything we are, we give to you tonight. And may it not be I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And we commit the rest of this evening to you, Lord, and I pray that you just speak even louder and clearer to each one of our hearts, Lord. And everyone that loves you, Father, may you open the plan, the unending plan that you have, how they fit into the plan of salvation for the world. I ask you in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Just a scripture reading out of Mark chapter 6. If you want to turn there with me. Thank you, Lord. Wow. We're past the hour mark already. So I only have another hour, and or maybe two with the introduction. And I will try to be short, but I really felt the Lord gave me a specific word to the church family here. Sandy and I really feel a part of this family. It was at the beginning of our ministry. We were ministering in Europe when we first met Bill and Elnora, and they took us under their wings in many ways because we were with another organization denomination that we were sent out in, and they had cut our support completely because we didn't go to their seminary. And so Bill and Eleanor just took us under their wing. But one thing I learned coming here and being part and living up in Timothy House, upstairs and different places, the one thing we really did learn was what the gospel was. And Paul says it's the power of God unto salvation. And what the response to the gospel message must be, which is repent and believe. There's no other way. There's no applying grace to anything unless there's repentance of sin. You don't even need grace if there's no sin. And we learned that, and that was what God told us to do, is take the gospel and preach the gospel around the world. In Mark chapter 6, beginning with verse 7, you see the first time that the disciples were sent out. The first time. Up to that particular time when they were sent out, they just saw Jesus doing the work. They saw him touch and do everything that was there, but they had never been out. They never did anything. And here it is what they did. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. And he said to them, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you, and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons, anointed with oil many who were sick, and healed them. Praise God. I was thinking of this scripture when we met the team in Ireland. And I saw these 10 ladies, and I thought, Lord, what's happening here? And nothing against ladies or anything like that, but these were just ordinary disciples, ordinary people, just like you and me. And my message this evening is entitled, Anybody Can Do It. Anybody can do it. And so what did I learn? That's what I learned. Anybody can do it. They didn't have any particular, none of them were preachers, none of them were teachers, none of them had any Bible schools, they had any training except what we gave them as a mission before they left on a mission trip. They didn't even speak, they did give testimonies, which were very powerful. Some of them were not even baptized in the Holy Spirit, but many of them had great faith. We had ages from 20 to 30, and then we had ages 60 to 70, which actually turned out really good because we had the span of all generations that would fit in them. One lady was the first time she's ever been on an airplane out of the country, and here they are, and they show up, and they have nothing. They're just ordinary. And you heard what all was done. And I said, well, Lord, what do they have? And this is the two things they had. And it's the most important. Number one, they had a desire. They had a desire to serve and to do something that will make a difference in society. And the second, they had a love for the Lord. They had a love for the Lord. And therefore, a love for what he loves and who he loves. And these two things are enough for any ordinary disciple with an extraordinary God. And maybe you can relate to them being an ordinary disciple. That's just what these men were that became the apostles. But at this point in this scripture, they were ordinary disciples. As I said, they had done nothing. But when they signed on, they didn't. When Jesus says, okay, it's your turn, go out, go two by twos and go to that village and there, and preach the gospel and so on. They didn't come and say, what, me? I didn't sign on for this. Because that's what they did sign on. They got the call from Jesus. He says, come, deny yourself, pick up your cross daily and follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. That was the call, and they wouldn't have signed on with Jesus if they didn't expect to be trained to be a fisher of men or a harvester of the wheat. Hallelujah. They were waiting for Jesus to say, okay, now it's your turn. We've seen you do it, now go try it. When I read this, it was 12 men, so it was six teams. I wonder who was paired up with Judas. Because Judas saw the same things. God used him. And, who was paired up with Peter? You can get all the... Yeah. And so with all that, they were just ordinary, but they didn't say, I can't. They had a desire and a love. And that's what we must have to do anything for Jesus. I love verse 7, the opening one. It says he called them, he sent them, and he gave them. And that's exactly what Jesus has done with you, everyone in here. He's called you. He's sent you already. And he's given you authority to cast out demons and to heal the sick. Hallelujah. And when are we going to start trying it? Did they do perfectly? I'm sure they didn't. They came back to Jesus. He said, come away by yourselves and we'll talk about this. And he said, well, you can do this better, you can do that better. But they had this desire. And so did these ladies. They just wanted to make a difference in people's lives. They were ruthless on the streets. They were stopping people and talking with them, say, here's the leaflet, what's your name? And it was just amazing seeing what they were all doing. They went into every store, put in leaflets, talked to the owner, and I thought, where did they get all this boldness and such, And some weren't even filled with the Holy Spirit yet. But I'll tell you, after they saw the miracles, they will be thinking about it for sure. And they can receive by themselves. But nevertheless, they had the two ingredients, desire and a love for the Lord Jesus. Are you in love with Jesus? The main thing to be in love is to deny, you have to deny self. But that's what love is. Love is sacrifice. And it's no sacrifice to serve Jesus. Why do we call it a big sacrifice? But that's what love is sacrificing self. I want this, I want that, so that you can be used by God. It's no longer I. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I, this Luther Meyer that lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live by faith now in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I give myself for him. And together we go and do the things that he wants to have done. It's a great privilege to do it. But you've got to have that desire. And if you don't have the desire, I don't know what to do if you don't have the desire. Because so many people come to Christ for themselves. And because the gospel is preached, something different than deny self, take up your cross, and follow me. The benefits usually are. And there are great benefits to following Jesus. He forgives all your sins. He heals all your diseases. He crowns your life with loving kindness and tender mercy. I love the last one. He renews your youth like the eagles. It's all the benefits. Hallelujah. But that's not why I love him, because he gives me something. I love him because of what he's done for me. And I have this interactive relationship with him. Anyway, these men, ordinary disciples with an extraordinary God, he told them something very special. And I look at how Sandy and I travel, you know, we've got two big suitcases and then carry-ons and then a thing strapped around my thing. He says, don't take any of that. And don't take the bread, don't do the humanitarian aid stuff and all that kind of stuff. But he wasn't saying don't do that. Jesus told us to preach the gospel and take care of the poor. And you find out within the same chapter, verse 30, he actually feeds 5,000. But what he's trying, I believe, to say here is that you got to keep focused on what's important. And so don't take, in this particular time, focus on taking the gospel to the people, because it's the gospel that will change a person's life. You can feed them and they can become healthy and still go to hell. But God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He loves people. He loves every Muslim. He loves every terrorist. He loves them. And we need to get a hold of love God, therefore I love what he loves and who he loves. So don't take that physical stuff along on this point. They're not saying don't take care, but one of my jobs in Missionary Ventures is trying to keep the projects so they're not just projects in humanitarian aid. Every project is an opportunity to take the gospel and to talk to somebody. That's why we had the bus, and you come on and have a cup of tea or a cup of coffee and a biscuit, and what's your name, you know, and all of a sudden you're talking about the gospel with them. And it's really nice coming out of the rain. So even the rain helped us, because they go, oh, I can go on the bus and talk. So it's really neat, but what I learned is that anybody can do it. It's just the desire. It doesn't matter what age you are. We had somebody in the mid-70s, and we had somebody in their 20s. It doesn't matter on those ages. So they went, it says, out, and they proclaimed that people should repent. That's the message, repent. Start with John the Baptist, start with Jesus, fulfill, continue, repent of your sins so that you can be reconciled to God and have this wonderful relationship. And these people were armed with their testimony. You overcome the enemy by the word of your testimony and the blood of the Lamb, which wipes away our sin through repentance, and your commitment unto death. You have those three things, you can beat the devil in anything, in anybody's life. Kind of closing, I was thinking about the Apostle Paul, who was Saul. Everything in Saul's life changed the day he met Jesus Christ. And it wasn't scriptures. Because if anybody knew scripture, it was the Apostle Paul. It was an encounter with Jesus Christ. He actually heard his voice. To get saved, a person's got to hear his voice. Not just repeat a prayer after me. He has to have an encounter with the living God. When Saul did that, he became blind. And he was blind physically as well as spiritually. at that point. But later on, everything changed. And he said, now I see. And not only that, he changed his name from Saul to Paul and became the apostle of faith. One of the great privileges that Sandy and I have had in India is changing people's names. Because most people that get saved and you baptize them, they were Hindus and their name was after a Hindu god. And they don't want that anymore. And so it's up to you, myself, to say, okay, this is your new name, Joshua, or this. And you got to really pray in the, because you don't want to give them a name they don't want, but nevertheless, they're just so excited to have a biblical name. And Paul's changed his name. Personally, everything in my life changed the day I met Jesus Christ. And our life direction changed the day we were baptized in the Holy Spirit. It wasn't tongues that changed me. That was a wonderful gift. And I can't understand how people get on without tongues. Because when I'm in a crisis or anything, I just begin to speak in tongues and God just begins to renew my spirit and talks to me and all kinds of different things. But it changed because I had a desire to witness and a desire to lead people to Christ, and I love God with all my heart. I was at this point, I was a university professor at the University of Arkansas in music. And I had, the next day, it was Sunday, we were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and the next day, Monday morning, I was sitting in my office and one of my students came in. You may have heard this testimony, but it changed my course of my life, this baptism of power into my life. And he pulled out of his briefcase a loaded pistol, and he put it on my desk. And I kind of went, you know, like you do, surrender, you know, or whatever. You know, I was kind of getting afraid here. And he says, Mr. Meyer, he says, if you don't have anything to tell me, I'm at the point of my life where I'm going to commit suicide. And for the first time in my life, this was 12 hours after, you know, 24 hours after being baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I said, let me tell you about Jesus Christ. And I told him the gospel as best as I knew it. And he got down on his knees, and he prayed, and we prayed. He gave his life to Jesus Christ. He got saved marvelously. And I said, wow, Lord, that was the most exciting thing I've ever done in my life, to be able to share Jesus with somebody. And he got saved, a student. We almost got kicked out of university, but it was 2 years later we gave our lives to Jesus, and we gave up our job and followed Jesus, and that was 43 years ago. We haven't had a salary or anything. 43 years, God has taken care of us, and he will. Who led the Apostle Paul to the Lord?
Jesus.
No, that wasn't true. Pardon? Yes, that, and he fell down and he heard Jesus' voice. He became blind and he was led to a house. Pastor's wife. It was an ordinary disciple with an interactive relationship with God. His name was Ananias. And this happened to Paul. He was led into this house, and Ananias didn't know anything that's happening. And all of a sudden, he hears this voice. You can read it in Acts. And God says, Ananias. And Ananias didn't go, what was that? He said, yes, Lord. It was like, this is normal for an ordinary disciple to talk with God. You see, there's three aspects of communication with God. One is prayer. That's an up arrow going up to God. The other is God speaking to you, hearing you hear his voice. Sometimes he speaks through the Bible. Other times he speaks through circumstances and everything. But the third thing, which is the one you want to seek after, is talking with God. Moses had that. He says, if there's a prophet, I'd speak to them in visions and dreams and in riddles. But with Moses, I speak mouth to mouth. Is that possible today? Yes, very much. Ananias had it. And Ananias was an ordinary disciple with an extraordinary God. He was just like you and me. And God says, Ananias, and Ananias says, yes, Lord. He says, there's this guy and he gives him the house number, the street, where he is. I mean, we're not talking just, you know, something jumping out of the Bible. We're talking about God giving him an address. And I want you to go there and lay your hands on him, lead him to me, and lay your hands on him so that he'll see. And he says, Lord, are you kidding me? That's my own translation. And he says, this guy, we've heard about him. He's going around killing Christians. And you want me to go there? And God says, yes, and I want you to do this and do that and go and say, I have sent you. And so Ananias says, yes, Lord, ordinary disciple with a desire to serve God and love God. He goes, he lays hands on Saul, who is now the Apostle Paul, who becomes the Apostle Paul, and he sees, he comes to the Lord, and he actually baptized him, an ordinary disciple. Can you imagine that scripture I shared, what God wants to do through you? Who knows? It may not be you doing what Sandy and I do. It may be you just going somewhere, laying hands on somebody, they get healed, and they become a great evangelist. Or they become this, or they become that. Because you're not interested in yourself becoming anything. You're interested in being the Word of God to people and touch their lives. And it is just fantastic. Ananias. Wow. The demonstration of God's power he wants to use through you. We have found working with Muslims and almost anybody in Europe, they have to see the power. And the way they see the power is through you and me, ordinary disciples. In fact, that's why you are extraordinary, is because you're ordinary. It's not the big evangelists, it's not all that, it's the ordinary disciples knowing that they have an extraordinary God. And I tell you, you can't even imagine what God wants to do with this church, as not as a group, but as individuals in this church. You have had teaching and teaching and teaching, and you're going out and you're doing things, but I'm telling you, you can't imagine what God has if you really have the desire and you really have that anointing from God, which he says, I give you, I call you, you've been called, sent, and given authority to go and win the lost in the world today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ephesians 3, and this is my last scripture. And it's verse 20. But within this scripture, tonight, as we close, If you're feeling a stirring in your soul and heart and you really want to do something, I felt from the Lord to ask anybody that wanted to come up here, and we're going to anoint you with oil just for a fresh anointing to be able to go and be the power of God to the world, to be take the gospel, to do something. And I can guarantee you by God that this week will be, this week, that you're in right now will be different. Your Christmas season will be different. Everything will be different. And you'll have the greatest, you'll be able to give the greatest gift you can give, which is Jesus, to people. Because they're so hungry right now. People are so hungry. But you have to have the desire, and you have to have the love. And with that, you know, If you want that, I want to pray. Just pray for you, not long prayers, not prayer for yourself, just an anointing of power on your life. So this scripture is very famous, but it's parallel to the other one. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. He's able to do exceedingly above. The question is, what are you asking? Are you asking for yourself, or are you asking to be used? If you ask to be used by the Lord for your friends, for your neighbors, for so on, he's able to do beyond what you can think for the power that is in you by the Holy Spirit. May God bless you. Please stand up.